You're listening to the Eyes on Isles podcast with Matt O'Leary and Mitch Anderson.
Hello and welcome to the Eyes on Isles podcast, episode number 35. I am Matt O'Leary. I am joined by Mitch Anderson. Mitch, how are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. And yourself?
I'm doing great. Now, you know what I'm going to ask you, right?
Yeah.
What edition is episode number 35?
I don't know. We didn't look this up before the show.
I purposely didn't say anything because I did.
Oh,
I
no,
looked it up.
You jerk.
You have a lot of winners to pick from.
Do I?
Actually, I'll take that back. Glenn Healy. That's a pretty good one.
Yeah, Chris Osgood for a bit, obviously.
Al Montoya was the last one to wear it.
Sure. I don't know. Goalies really love their 30s, right? I'm going to go Tommy Salo. There you go. Probably the longest standing in that list. Yeah, he's got 4 years there. So Tommy Salo. Done.
The Tommy Salo edition. Forgive me, I don't remember Tommy Salo.
How do you... 95, 99? How old were you then?
I was 0 to 4.
Well... Okay. Oh, boy. I'm not old at all.
No.
Just a little bit older. But, like, he was okay. He had, just around 900 save percentage while he was here. What was it? It was a 902 and a 277 goals against average while he was here in 62 games.
He only played 62 games over 4 years?
Yes. Well, 1 year he played 6 games, the next year he played 10. So he didn't really get a lot of work in him.
Oh, God. A lot of real winners for a 35, apparently.
Yeah. Well, we only have a few good goalies, so...
Yeah,
throughout our history.
Billy Smith, Chico Resch, and then a big drop-off.
And then, theoretically, we can claim a fame to... oh, my God. I'm going to... Roberto Luongo, just because he was kind of here and we drafted him. That's our only claim to fame.
It's a little bit of a stretch, but
it's a lot bit of a stretch.
Yeah. Speaking of stretches, I don't know how we could segue that, but that's how we're going to do it. It's a stretch, sure. We're going to talk about the Islanders' fourth line this year. And
it's stretching our pocketbooks.
Oh, zinger, that joke.
Just left, right.
Let's go. It wasn't good. We crunched the numbers. Like, everyone was saying that, yes, they're overpaid and they don't really produce that well. And we actually researched it. We did an Excel sheet and everything with some... capital J journalism from us. And we figured some stuff out. So, Mitch, do you want to share some of the findings that we found?
Sure. Findings. So what we did is we looked at three different categories. We looked at payroll. So how expensive is that fourth line compared to everyone else? So this is all compared to every other team in the league. And obviously, we all know that lines change. So we just picked a date and whatever that fourth line was on that date. It was later in the season, so it's just right before the end. So it's a pretty good show of who actually fits on that fourth line. It also considers maybe players that they're trying to test out for next year. So we figured that was a good time to test. We tested production. And by that, we didn't just test by the number of points, but we looked for production over 60. So that was it's relative production. And PS on relative production, I was getting into it with this guy on Twitter. Like, honestly, Corsi 4 percentage is a percentage. It's not a volume base. So you can base that and compare it to the rest of the team and compare it to players without having to factor in ice time. That's how Corsi works. Ugh. Anyways, production in and of itself isn't a relative measure. It's just a volume measure. So to compare accurately players across lines based off of the amount of ice time they're getting, you break it down by 60. And so we did that. We figured out what we didn't figure it out. It was already there available for us. Most of the stats come from Corsica.hockey. And the payroll comes from, Cap Friendly. Anyways, we also figured out or used their Corsi 4 percentage and tried to assess how that lineup did in terms of creating and generating possession.
And the numbers weren't so good from what we found.
Two of the numbers were... One was okay. The other two were terrible. I can imagine... You could... Let me... I know you know, but... I'd be interested to know what the listeners thought the two bad ones were without knowing the stats just yet. Do you think it'd be... Obviously, payroll would be one, but do you think they'd go production or Corsi?
I would think production, although it's close.
See, I wouldn't. I think people would go more Corsi. At least I was, because when I picture Casey Zizekas, I think of a guy who's good at keeping the puck going in the other end. He's good on the forecheck, so is Cal Clutterbuck, or that's at least their claim to fame. Maybe not by themselves, but at least by what we keep hearing and what we generally see glimpses of it here and there, that they're good at keeping the puck on the other end. But when we look at the stats, they aren't. They rank dead last in Corsi 4 as a line, as the trio of Ross Johnson, Cal Clutterbuck, and Casey Zizekas are 31st in terms of Corsi 4 with a 41.6%.
Ooh.
Which is bad, considering the top one, the top performer is Carolina with a 54.6. Like, that disparity of 13 points is huge.
It's a huge, yeah, you're right. We can't downplay that percentage. It's a big drop-off.
And also consider the next team, so ranked 30th, is 2 percentage points better than the Islanders. So already from first to worst is a 13 percentage point difference. And then from 31st to 30th is a 2% percentage point difference. That's huge.
Yeah,
that's a huge gap just going to the next level.
Right.
That's how bad they are.
They're bad by a mile.
Yeah.
Or a kilometer.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome.
That's 2.2 kilometers, if I'm not mistaken. Sorry. Yes, 2.2 kilometers is a mile or something like that.
Sure.
Anyways, sure. And then we looked at production, and their production per 60 averaged out to be 1.3 points per 60 as a line, which was 10th in the league.
All right.
So in terms of production, they're not too bad. But honestly, a lot of that 1.3 was carried by Ross Johnson, who had a, what was it, 1.62, I think it was? A 1.62 points per 60 in his games.
So the bad part is that they're the third highest costing one, and they're only giving you the 10th best production, which is slightly above average, and they're giving you the worst possession numbers possible.
There it is. Yeah. So the only teams that pay their fourth line more are the Philadelphia Flyers, who pay, what is it, Matt Reid, $3.6 million, and Jory Lehterä, $4.7 million.
That's rough.
That's bad. And then the Tampa Bay Lightning that pay, I think it's Ryan Callahan, $5.8 million to be on their fourth line. That's very bad.
That's also bad, but when they have that kind of offense, they kind of can cover up those issues.
Well, the rest of the team is good offensively, but their offense, so Chris Kunitz is the big driver on that fourth line with a 1.6 points per 60, but he also makes $2 million on the cap. So Ross Johnson makes $600,000, and he's got about the same production.
True.
So obviously, like, his sample size is smaller, but again, per 60. So relatively speaking, they're at level. Because that's what a relative stat is. God, it's going to burn me all night. Ah.
He's really upset about this. Whichever internet commenter got him today.
They got me.
I could see it in your face. You don't look yourself.
Because he's so smug about it too. Like, why didn't you use that? What are you trying to say? It's pretty clear what we're trying to say. The first line, sorry, this is all a tweet that we have. It was our Wednesday workbook tweet where we tweeted out that the Islanders' first line in terms of Corsi 4 was ranked 8th amongst lines in the team. So amongst variations of lines. And his thing was like, well, you didn't take into time on ice. No, we didn't, because time on ice would make it worse. They have 600-plus minutes on ice together, and they're still the 8th best line in terms of generating possession on the team. Oh, well, it's not. That's not relative. It is a relative stat. It is. It's a percentage.
That's exactly what percentages is.
Works. Like, I understand that you could probably make it out to be like, well, based off their time, they get more. And you could even make the argument that they're maybe on the ice against better Corsi 4 team players, sure, but that's not the argument that's being made here. The simple argument that we're making is that in terms of possession, they aren't the best of the two, or the best of anyone. There's eight combinations that are, seven combinations that are better than them. Anyways, let's not get derailed on it. Fourth line, bad.
Yes. The moral of the story is the Islanders are way overpaying for their fourth line, which comes as no surprise.
No.
And they aren't producing to what they should be based on how they're being paid.
Well, and that's a problem, right? Is that because of how they're being paid, we then project them to be better than they are. That's like saying Wade Redden was a first pairing defenseman because at one point he was making like $6 million. He never was. It's just the Rangers were dumb enough to pay him that kind of money. He's not going to say no. Casey Zizekas and Cal Clutterbuck aren't going to say no to that kind of money. And it's not their fault that they're not producing up to that standard. That's the Islanders' fault for, like, here, you want $3 million a year? Heck yeah, I do. Give me $3 million a year, and I'll play, like, 10 minutes a night for sure. Don't expect much from me, but hey, if you're going to give it to me, then that's not my problem.
Right. I think it would just be a little bit different feeling if, yes, they had the third highest cost, but they were top five in both production and Corsi.
Right. And I think that's what we were trying to get at, is that we were trying to give the team, for some reason, the benefit of the doubt to say, is there something to this cap hit? And again, remember, it's not just the cost. Like, they're on the books for that cost for years.
Yeah, another four for Clutterbuck and three for Cizikas.
I believe that's right. That's nuts. That's $6.85 million on the cap for the next 3 years for fourth line players. That's more than 10% of the cap in two players that play between 14 at best and 10 minutes a night.
Yeah, that's a good point, Mitch.
That's not good.
No. But the Islanders are kind of stuck with it.
Yeah.
Unless, exactly. Unless you give up a pick and retained salary for the Cracker Jack salesman or whatever, like, you're not going to get anything in return for that. Like,
no, you're never – they're also, like, what, 28? No, Kyle Clutterbuck is in his 30s.
I think Clutter might be 29 or turning 30, and Cizikas is probably 26 or 27, if I had to guess.
So, Kyle Clutterbuck is 30.
Okay.
And Casey Cizikas, 27.
Okay.
So, by the time Cal has done his contract, he's got 5 years, including this one. He'll be between 33 and 34 years old. A 34-year-old Kyle Clutterbuck is going to make $3.5 million a year. He's already not producing. He might next year. You might get one more year of, let's say, 20 to 30 point production out of him. That's peak. That's max. That is the ceiling for $3.5 million.
When the Islanders signed him, I think they were banking on him putting up close to, like, the 15 goals a year.
How? How is that going to be possible from Cal Clutterbuck?
Well, what did he put up the year before he was signed? It was like 12 goals and like 20-something points, no?
You might be right. He put up 15 goals and 8 assists in 15-16.
Yeah, that's the year I'm talking about. I think they were assuming
But that's still a 23-point season. Like, his best season was in Minnesota, where he put up 19 goals and 15 assists. That's back in 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't... It doesn't make any sense. And it didn't make sense then. It doesn't make sense now. And we've justified it that it doesn't make sense. At least out of this year. It didn't make sense this year. And it shouldn't make sense going forward. Like, maybe Casey Cizikas, and I've said this before, I don't mind having him as a third-line center. I really don't. And that's based off of the lineup they have today, right? Like, I'd rather Casey Cizikas at the third-line center than Brock Nelson.
Okay. I think that you could kind of make that argument.
Now, if we're saying, could we get a scoring third-line center over Casey Cizikas? Sure, fine. Because Casey Cizikas is probably the best fourth-line center in the league, but this still doesn't mean he needs to be paid $3.25 million.
Right.
Or and whatever it is.
Tyler Bozak.
As a fourth-line center?
Third.
Okay, sure. Again, it's going to depend on the cost. Because if we're going to be paying him $3 million, we're already paying a guy for that.
You wouldn't sign up for $3 million for Tyler Bozak?
I would, but then we got $6.3 million on the cap in a third and fourth line center. That's a lot of money. Like, I'd rather have Casey Cizikas go up to the third and Alan Quinn as your fourth line center.
Bozak had 43 points this year and 55 the year before.
Do you think he's going to do that on the Islanders' third line?
With Bellows and Hosang, yeah.
Well, okay. So that's where we differ, I guess, in where we were going. Is that I was assuming what the lineup would be like now. So you have Andrew Ladd next to him, and who'd be the other winger? Brock Nelson?
I don't know.
Like that's my world based off the current stat, the current roster now. Because as it stands, I don't know how they're going to fit both Bellows and Hosang in the lineup next year. I really don't.
You could finagle.
Oh, I know they can make moves. I'm saying based off of how it's built now and who they currently have on roster, with all the names they have now, I don't know how they do it. Now, they can finagle it, like Shane Prince could be gone. He's an RFA. Wagner could be gone. That's a UFA. Same thing for Quine, could be out of there. Nikolai Kuhlman's gone, so we're already looking at three or four spots. So the possibility is there, but like, it's still going to take some finagling.
You know Brockatron's getting moved this offseason, right?
I want to believe you, but I don't. I really believe don't. It. I think he stays.
Hop on the bandwagon now while you still can.
I would like to, but I am hesitant.
You're like 1 foot on, 1 foot off.
I want my 1 foot on, but both feet are firmly planted outside of the bandwagon.
You're thinking about buying your ticket, and I'm on the caboose waving to you.
It's on sale, Mitch. 20% off.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Just remember this when he gets moved before the draft, and I tell you, I told you so.
Oh, but how can you tell me I told you so when I want to believe you. I just don't, because I don't think Brock Nelson gets moved. I want him to. I very much want him to. So if you're right, then great. I would be super happy if you're right. But I don't see it.
Open your eyes. You could see anything.
Okay, thanks.
Philosophy too.
Update on the Corsi situation. There is such a thing as relative Corsi 4. And guess what? Guess what?
What?
Anders Lee, John Tavares, and Josh Bailey rank eighth. Eighth in relative Corsi percentage to the .06. Eighth. They don't move. They don't get any better. They don't get any worse. So, come on. Huh.
Oh, man. Hopefully that internet commenter is listening.
He must be. I know he hate listens. I know he hate follows. So, you got me. You got me right. I'm going to go to bed and be like, relative Corsi. My wife's going to be like, what is he talking about, relative Corsi?
You're tossing and turning in your sleep, just thinking relative Corsi. Oh, God. I think that's it on the fourth line. Did you have anything else to add?
No. Like, I'm excited for Ross Johnson next year. If he can keep up this production, I'm really excited, because he also adds that dimension that everyone's been calling for. We need a more physical presence. And I was very hesitant to add just a player who can just fight. But the guy can fight, clearly, but he can also add that extra scoring dimension, which is the perfect kind of Clark Gillies mend. He's never going to be a Hall of Fame player. It's just like Clark Gillies kind of the Venn diagram in terms of production and physicality. He was right in the middle.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I definitely think I want to see him in a full-time role. I think he'd be an asset.
Yeah, agreed. I'm excited.
So for our second short topic, we started doing player grades now that the season's over. So far, we have Barzal, JT, Nelson, and Thomas Greiss. And Thomas Hickey, too. I forgot about Thomas Hickey, of course.
Thomas Hickey.
So do we want to go – how do we want to do this? Do you want to go through and give each grade first?
Yeah. Let's read off their grades and then thumbs up, thumbs down. How about we do that?
Sure. All right. So first on the list, we'll do Barzal. I give him an A+.
Okay. Well, that's easy. There's no question. That's a thumbs up.
Thumbs up, right? How could you give him anything besides an A+?
Yeah.
You did JT. You gave him an A, I believe?
Yes.
Okay. So you're giving yourself a thumb up?
I'm giving myself a thumbs up for sure.
I give you a thumbs up too. I think it was an A season.
Oh, you had me going there for a second. Why? So, well, like, you kind of paused, and I thought that you would be contrarian just to kind of like, you know, poke me a little bit more, push that little button.
No, I'm anti Tavares. The people who are anti Tavares, I'm anti them. So double anti.
This is a few anti Tavares people out there.
Yes.
And for some reason, I don't understand. He's not a good defensive player. Oh my God, yes he is. But like, yes, he's not going to win the Selke. I don't care. I don't care if he doesn't win the Selke.
Yes. He's a good captain too. So that's shove it.
Yeah, shove it.
All right, so we're 2 for 2 on agreeing. Brock Nelson.
Okay.
I gave him a D-.
Yeah, I'm going to give that a thumbs up. I honestly thought you were going to go lower. When I read it and I saw you gave him a D minus, I was going, really? I thought that was going to be an automatic F no matter what.
You want to know his saving grace?
19 goals? Breaking the 55 period?
No. The Detroit game was the only thing that made it not an F.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair, I guess.
It was too good of a game to not fail him.
Okay, we'll circle back to these. We'll circle back.
Okay. Then Thomas Greiss got an F.
Yeah, easily. I like the guy. I want him to do better, but he didn't, so there's no other way to go with this.
No. And then Kate gave Thomas Hickey a B-.
See, now that was a little interesting.
Okay.
So I didn't think that she'd be sympathetic. I know that she likes Thomas Hickey, but I thought that she would still, because of that because she likes him, I thought that she was going to be a little bit more critical. But I got on board with the B. I was with her on that. For what he did and where he was on the team, and considering everyone else around him was absolute garbage, I think you have to give him a B. At worst, a B-, I think she said as well.
Yeah, she said either B or B-, in that range.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what? I think that's pretty spot on. I think C plus would be too low, and B plus is definitely too high.
That's right.
So either between that B- and B range, I think is pretty fair. So on a 100 scale, that's like 80 to 85. That's, yeah, percentile. Yeah. I would definitely.
It just makes sense. I understand that he wasn't great. None of the defenders were. But in terms of everyone else on the team, and we're not giving him a grade based off of the league, we're giving him a grade based off his season. He still had a good season. I think did he not get up there in points? He was like 24 points or something on the season. I obviously don't have the stats in front of me, so I'm just like spewing random nonsense as usual.
25 in 69 games. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. He was benched a lot, right? He was a healthy scratch a lot of the time. So that's kind of fair. I don't think that's a career year for him, is it? It is. Yeah. That's a career year production-wise for him. Good job, Thomas Hickey.
That's 30 points over 82 games.
That's pretty good.
The pace, yeah.
That'd be tied in second in production on the team for defensemen.
Right.
So I think that that's fair. So if we reverse engineer this, we ended with Hickey and we went through him first. So next is Greiss. I don't think there's much to say there. Like, he was terrible. He had a bad year.
Yeah, I pulled up a lot of the numbers. He did not rank well at all comparatively to other goalies in the league. He was like 40. I wish I had the exact numbers on. But
we don't want to compare him right now to just the league. Just his season in general, right?
Right. Like, one of my favorites, goal saved above average, negative 17.85. Quality star percentage, 0.360.
Yeah. Not good.
Which was almost half of what it was last year.
Yeah. Like, the guy had a bad year. There's no better way to put it. So, like, you can't give him a D because you feel bad for him. You can. You're allowed to feel bad for him. I do. The guy had two really good years, and then when it was his time to shine, maybe not his time to shine. Maybe that's too harsh. But when we really needed him, he didn't do it. Which, like, he still had two great years. He earned the contract he's got. He does. Now, if he keeps doing this, he's not going to. But
are you nervous for the next 2 years?
No, not really. For a goaltender, for what should be a 1B goaltender, no. I'm going to equate this as having a bad year because he had two before that where he was good. So,
do you think he could bounce back at age 33?
Yeah, I do. At least another good season out of him.
Okay. I'm on the fence.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
I feel uneasy on it. I think that would be the best way to put it. I'm not like, get rid of him, he 100% stinks. I'm not like, I'm not like, he's going to be fantastic next year either, having a 925 save percentage. I'm unsure.
Right. And it's going to depend on how the goalie situation works out for the Isles, because obviously Yaroslav Halak is a big question mark because he's out of a contract at the end of the season. Are they going to keep him? Are they not? And if they do, is it just the same thing all over again? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And if they get a new guy, well, then where does Rice fit in? Is it going to be a 1A, 1B situation, or is it really going to be a starter backup situation where he gets between 20, 25 games a year?
Yeah, it all depends on who's brought in with Grice.
Yeah, that's right.
Who else did we have to talk about?
I think we went then to Brock Nelson.
Nelson.
And he gave him a D-minus some reason. Because he played well against Detroit. I don't understand why we're basing his entire season grade off of one good game.
No, oh my God.
Why do you love Brock
take it
Nelson
so
much?
Literally, Mitch. I said the difference between the F and the D minus is that game.
Why? Just because, but that's the thing. So we're talking about the 7-6 or whatever 5-4 Detroit game where they won in overtime after all those like ridiculous power points or power play goals.
Yeah, I gave him an extra 3 points on a scale out of 100, and that would bump him up to 68, which is a D-.
So why that game? Why did that game matter so much?
My Jesus Christ, he scored 3 goals, Mitch! It's not rocket science, he scored the game-winning goal and had a hat trick. That's why.
He also scored 19 on the season. He's not producing at the same rate he was. He was also absent for 55 periods entirely throughout the year. 55, not just one period, 55 where he was absent completely, and you're going to give him a bump on his grade because he was there for one. I'm surprised out of you, Matthew. I'm very surprised.
He was 6th on the team in goals.
He was what in terms of points? It's not just about goals sometimes. Anthony Beauvillier passed 8th at the three-quarter mark of the season. Or sorry, with only a quarter of the season to play in.
He was 8th on the team in points.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't give him a passing grade. Well, sorry, I guess a D isn't. Yeah, that is passing.
A D minus. A barely pass. He got a 66 on the geometry test. He's... get it by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I don't know. I give him a flat F simply because of he wasn't getting enough vitamin D between December and February, and then for some reason we forget about that all the time.
He was on pace for 27 points at one point. If he ended with 27 points, that's enough. He turned it on a little bit. D minus.
But we knew he was. That's also the problem, is that we knew he was going to do that. F.
What'd you give him last year?
I don't remember.
We're going to find it. If it's anything above a D, we're going to lose.
He had a better year last year, though. We already know that. He had 45 points last year. It was a career year for him. He had how many points this year?
35.
Yeah, okay. So he lost 10 points on last year, yet had the same...
So even if that's a C+, and then are you going to bump that from C+ to F or C+ to D?
To F. He lost 10 points on a year. This is a guy who should be hitting 45 no matter what.
All right,
he was averaging 42.5, and he dropped that by 7.
If he put up 45 points again, what is that, a D?
If he puts up 45 points again, I'd be willing to give him a C+ on that.
So what's the D grade? How many points?
What's a D grade? 40 points. If we're going to have to put a line, an arbitrary line in terms of production, 40 points is a D grade.
Okay. I don't agree with your grading system. I wouldn't like to have you as a professor.
No, I'm a harsh grader. I'm very harsh. Unforgiving.
As for JT, I mean, he had 84 points this year, 37 goals. Like, that's an A. Because he didn't put up 100 points, you're not going to give him an A.
No, it's not because he didn't put up 100 points. Is he also had that disappearance for a little bit. That didn't help. That wasn't good. And there's also just the whole rigmarole with the contract situation. He's earned his right to go and do what he wants to do. It just seems that he's not very clear with his communication.
True.
And I don't think I put that in there. I'm doing that after the fact. I'm armchair GMing it. It's really just... wasn't there for a bit. It doesn't deserve a full letter grade down. It's really just not A+ material.
Fair enough. I think A is fine. I agree with you that one.
Yeah.
And then Barzal just blew everyone out of the water. So yeah, how could you not give him an A+?
No reason to give him anything less than an A+. If you give him less than an A+, I want to know why. Because he had that, like, that turnover against Philadelphia, maybe not turnover, the failure to pressure Shane Gostisbehere against Philadelphia at the end of the season was awful. That was terrible. But that was also in game, like, 79 or something like that. So he had another 78 games before that where he didn't have those. So I'm ready to give him a pass.
A plus.
Yes.
I won't take an A or anything less. A plus.
No. Get out of the class.
You're done. So definitely be on the lookout. We're going to continue these player grades. They're going to be more as we go along. So I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week.
Yes.
Moving on now.
Update on the Corsi situation.
Oh, God.
I have to get it out. There's actually a relative Corsi 4 per 60 stat. So this then takes into relative, which is based off situation, and then per 60, which is based, also takes time on ice into consideration. And the top line of Honorsley, John Tavares, Josh Bailey ranks what, say you, Matthew Bailey? I don't know why I called you Matthew Bailey. I'm just putting it out there. I was going to say Barzal, and then I corrected myself to Bailey, and that's not it. I'm getting excited.
Okay, give it to me.
Sixth. They jumped up two spots over, I don't even know who, but two spots. That's all they did. They went from the relative Corsi 4 per 60 is 2.62, which Honorsley, Jordan Eberle, Matthew Barzal is better. Brock Nelson, Andrew Ladd, Tanner Fritz is much better. Andrew Ladd, Jordan Eberle, Matthew Barzal, way better. And Anthony Beauvillier, Jordan Eberle, Matthew Barzal, 15.45 for your team leaders. So you know what? The top line was bad when it comes to Corsi 4, and every relative stat that you want to bring up, even though the stat was already relative, shows that they were not good possession-wise. Ugh! I'm done! Okay.
Are we done nerding out?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, there we go. We got it off our chest. Sorry, we're going to breathe in, breathe in, breathe out. Goose Fraba. All right.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You've never seen Anger Management?
Well, I think once in an airplane and I fell asleep.
Okay, it's from that movie.
Okay, well, so not a good movie.
I can't with you tonight. I really can't. This is the episodes where the hosts are like the bickering, but it's not playful. This is some real stuff going on here.
This is real hate.
There's some real hate going on.
The border between us.
Yeah, thank God. So on to our short topic number three. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers have now clinched being 15 years in a row without a playoff series win.
Woo!
Other AHL team in history has done that.
We're number one. We're number one.
We're really bad. So
we're really bad. Okay.
This is irony, no? Dramatic irony?
I don't think so, but maybe you might be able to convince me there. Why is it dramatic irony?
Because the Islanders are also bad.
Well, I don't know if that's ironic.
Well,
you listen to too much Alanis Morissette. 10,000 spoons when all you need is a knife isn't ironic.
All right, so what would you call it?
Confirmation. It just confirms what we already know, that the Islanders, as an organization, don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, that's better. I like that better than mine.
Does it matter? No, it doesn't matter. Look, J.F. Berube won a Memorial Trophy, right? So, whatever. Where is he now? Big deal.
I slightly disagree.
Oh, okay.
I think it does matter that they haven't won, because it shows how bad the pipeline has been.
Is it, though? When you look at the players that are on this team, is that pipeline that bad?
I think
Anthony
it is.
Anthony Beauvillier didn't play very
long.
He didn't
play, really.
But he did. Ryan Pulock did. Devin Toews, although he didn't play this year, but he did play last. The pipeline, still, Anthony Beauvillier is still part of that pipeline. So is Matthew Barzal, still part of that pipeline.
Matthew Barzal didn't play in the AHL.
I'm not saying that. I'm just talking about the pipeline itself.
The Islanders pipeline in general?
The pipeline in general is there to serve the Islanders. It is not there to serve the Bridgeport Sound Tigers. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers are... Well, what is the word I want to look for? I'm thinking of The West Wing. They serve at the pleasure of the New York Islanders. That should be the motto of the Bridgeport Sound Tigers.
That's true, and I 100% agree with you. But it's not, you're not even at least a little concerned that they have gone 15 years without doing anything?
Well, I'm concerned, yeah, sure, but it's not because the Bridgeport Sound Tigers are bad. It's because the Islanders are bad. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers being bad is just kind of like putting gas on the fire. Like,
so that does matter. That is a big deal.
It's not a big deal. It just reaffirms what we already know. We already know they're bad. The fact that the Bridgeport Sound Tigers are also bad is still bad. It's just kind of like more bad. You're adding bad to bad. That's all you're doing. We're just fanning the flames that are already kind of like engulfing the entire house.
Yeah. So this is pretty much what you're speaking of, the flames and the fire. So picture a house engulfed in flames.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. The Bridgeport Sound Tigers have a garden hose with no nozzle. They got their thumb over it, spraying it on the flames. And you're saying that it doesn't matter.
What I'm saying is the house, if we're using this as firehouse metaphor, the house is on fire, mm-hmm. and that represents the Islanders, the New York Islanders as an organization. And you come to me to tell me that the Bridgeport Sound Tigers haven't won or haven't gone to the playoffs in 15 years is you going to that very same house and like fanning it with a piece of paper or fanning it with a book. You're not doing much. It's already on fire. It's still bad. You're just trying to make it worse, but it's not that much worse because it's already as worse as it can get. And then Gar Snow is a dog on the inside saying that's fine. it's bad. I'm not going to take anything. This is not good, but it doesn't make the situation worse because it's already about as, it's like peak bad. You can't go any higher than peak bad.
So it's like almost so bad that it's good.
Maybe. I'm not saying that, but I like where you're going with it.
I'm so confused by your point.
My point is that it doesn't matter. That's my point. And the going into being bad is good is an aside. That's just something that I like that isn't my point. My point is simply that the Bridgeport Sound Tigers not being good doesn't matter. It doesn't. I don't care. It sucks, and it's not good, but it doesn't represent anything aside from the fact that the Islanders as an organization don't know what they're doing, and we already know that at the NHL level. We're already very well aware of that.
Right.
So why are we bringing it up then? Because obviously we write the running order together. I think it's important for us to conceptualize, to realize that that is a fact, and maybe that does something. Maybe that, like, you're, then this is where you're going with the so bad it's good. Maybe it's so bad that at some point there's so much negativity that it's just coming from everywhere that the team has to do something. They have to look at it and say, like, this is bad all over the place. Our NHL team can't make the playoffs. Our AHL team can't make the playoffs. Our GM doesn't know what he's doing. We're going to lose our star player. Like, there's too much bad. We need to win. We need to do something. And maybe that forces them to make a change. Maybe just even firing Brent Thompson. Maybe that's all they need to do.
If their only move this offseason is firing Brent Thompson, I'm not going to be happy.
I don't blame you, but maybe it's a start. It's better than what they've done so far, which is maybe nothing. Talk to some people who are still in jobs and are going to wait for them to like not be in a job anymore. Like one of those guys could be in the playoffs until the end. They're talking to Patrice, or they're hoping to talk to, what is it, Patrice Brisebois? From the Tampa Bay Lightning, they could go all the way. You could be in June and still have not talked to the guy.
Potentially.
Like, that's insane.
So you just got to wait it out then, if that's your plan.
No, you talk to him now. Just talk to him now. Unless the Lightning are saying, don't. We don't want to talk to you.
Or you they can't.
Don't. Why not? Is there a rule? Maybe there is. I'm asking seriously.
Well, you wouldn't say that's tampering?
Why is it tampering?
Not with a player, but he has other stuff to do. His team is in the playoffs.
Maybe. It's disrespectful. I understand it's respectful to wait. I get it. But you know what? What is more respectful is maybe making your team a winning team. And waiting until June doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
But nothing's going to happen between now and June.
Well, you're that much closer to a draft to prepare for. You're that much closer to free agency to prepare for. And the new guy you're going to bring in is going to have weeks to figure that out. And we have two drafts in the lottery. By then, that'll be figured out. Like, in 10 days, that'll be figured out. But he's still got to figure out who he's going to draft. So we're going to put a guy in a position to take two lottery picks or two top 16 picks, and he's going to have weeks to prepare.
Give me 15 minutes with a mock draft. I'll come up with something better.
Yeah, but no one will ever say that that is probably the most informed decision you could make.
What is the truth?
Well, obviously, give me the list and I'll point it out. Take 10 seconds. It's not the most informed decision I could be making. I'm not looking at all the information that's available and making the best decision.
It's not going to matter because you probably don't need to take any of the players in your first round. Trade them both for a defenseman and a goalie.
Okay, sure. Who? And how? Again, you have weeks to make that decision, to make those negotiations, to make those calls.
Welcome not to the good. NHL, baby.
Okay. Okay. We clearly disagree.
No one said
it
was going to be easy.
No one said it was going to be easy, but you want to, I don't.
So, okay, but let's say you talk to him and he wants to do the job. Then what is it? Is he like, he's still focusing about the Tampa Bay Lightning?
I'm saying maybe go somewhere else. Maybe
okay,
that's not
a completely
the guy.
Different story then.
Maybe the timing isn't right. You know, sometimes you don't date the people you want to date because the timing isn't right. That's a life story.
It is. It's happened a time or two.
Exactly. So, like, maybe you try to find someone who's equally as qualified. I'm not saying I know who that is. I'm just saying there's got to be someone out there. Maybe you've been interviewing people for the last 2 million years. You've got to have a shortlist at this point. And if your shortlist is people who are already in the playoffs, you should have known this beforehand. You should have known. This isn't something new. Ugh. Like, they knew that they weren't going to make the playoffs, they being the Islanders, in March. Almost February, they knew they weren't going to make it. And just now they're thinking, I think maybe we can go like talk to some people. Oh, you're in a job? Don't worry, we'll wait. It's okay. Why? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. So maybe you focus on someone who isn't in a playoff position. Or not for as long. Yeah, AKA Tom Fitzgerald.
Sure, maybe, I guess. Like, why him?
He was with the Penguins organization when they were pretty good.
When they were pretty good? Where is he now? New Jersey. They're okay.
They went from 70 points to 97.
Yeah. But again, how much of that is his doing? It's fair. Like, I'm okay with it. I'm okay. It's just kind of like, is that really the best person? I'm really just asking.
No.
It's like me saying, we should sign Carter Hutton. Because of his experience in helping and his save percentage and his stats line from St. Louis are good. He's just older. We don't know what he would be like as a starter, but we know what he's like as a backup, so why don't we give him a shot? It's kind of the same argument, just played out at a GM level. So I get your argument.
It's very similar, actually.
Yeah, exactly. I'm glad I brought it up. Thank you.
That was good.
So maybe he's the best fit. I don't know. I've heard Lou Lamoriello. Like, yeah, he's great. Lou is great, but Lou's also like a million years old or 76 or something like that.
What about his son, Chris?
Sure, maybe, yeah. Like, you don't think he can call up the phone with his dad, who I think is going to retire at the end of the year, be like, hey, dad, what would I do? What would you do in this situation? Well, I think you should do that. All right, done. Like, he's still getting Lou Lamoriello advice for free.
Pretty much. At the dinner table.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I don't know. I don't think that that's a bad idea. Kick him up, keep Garth up to president, you're good to go. Everyone's happy. But apparently they don't want to do that. Well, they never said that. But if they're looking elsewhere, then I don't imagine they want to do that. Because they would have by now. Why not?
Well, who the hell knows what's going on?
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand what is happening here.
I don't get it. Nobody gets it, really.
No
one gets it. Being completely honest.
No.
Want to hop into the long topic of the week?
Yeah, let's do that. Now that we've talked longly about other things.
Yeah. Garth Snow's evaluation.
Yes.
Now, we're just looking at 2017 and 2018, correct?
Correct.
Still isn't good.
Well, no, obviously not.
Okay, but some of the stuff we looked into was the expansion draft / entry level, trades.
Sorry, you mean entry draft and expansion
entry,
draft.
Yeah. expansion draft and entry draft. Yes. Yep. Sorry, I mined in a pretzel for a second. Trades, free agency, and on-ice success. Yes. So let's start with both drafts. It's kind of too early to tell with the entry-level draft. The expansion draft, yes, they were able to get Berube off the team, but they also gave up a first-round pick.
Yeah, they also gave up Mikhail Grabowski for $5 million off the cap.
Right.
That was huge. Overall, they didn't do great at the expansion draft. They did reasonably well because, again, like you said, they got rid of two players that they didn't really need. But they also lost a first, a second, and a prospect. So for them not taking a team that finished 17 points out of the playoffs.
Right. It was mediocre, maybe. Like, there's some pros and cons, so right down the middle.
I would say. What I meant to say with the 17 points is they... Garth essentially, not essentially, literally protected a team that was worse than the team that the Vegas Golden Knights put together. Garth made sure and gave up a first, a second, a defensive prospect, and Jean-François Berube in order for the Vegas Golden Knights not to take a team, not to take any player off a team that was 17 points out of the playoffs. That's not good.
So I'm going to ask you a question. It's going to be strictly based off memory because I don't remember, to be honest with you.
I have it open here, so it's good.
Okay, if they didn't make that trade, who do you think Vegas would have taken?
So it depends on who he protects, right? So again, he protected Pollock, he protected Pelech. I don't think he protected Hickey. So probably Hickey.
Okay.
Right, and which would be fine for us at this point.
Yeah. Probably, right? Because he only played that one more. Yes, he had a pretty good year for the Islanders this year. I'm not denying.
He did. He had that 25 points. But if you're giving him up, then I don't know. Then he'd probably have to try to fill that void, and he might end up doing that. Although, does that then mean he doesn't get Jordan Eberle?
Yeah, who knows?
Who knows, right? I'm just going through the list now. Oh, my God, my computer is so slow. Just to figure out exactly if he did or didn't, because I don't want to say he did and then he didn't actually. He did not. He protected Hamonic, Letty, Pelech, Pulak.
Hamonic, Letty, Pelech, Pulak.
On the defense.
Both goalies, right?
Yep. Josh Bailey was left unprotected. So was Brock Nelson.
They might have took Bailey then.
Yeah. DeHaan was also left unprotected. They probably would have taken DeHaan, honestly.
Yeah, probably. That would have been a bigger loss. Then you probably don't trade Hamonic.
No, definitely. Well, maybe.
Well, you just might have to because of his request / taking it back / really never took it back.
Right. Exactly. So,
who knows what could have happened? This is a whole another scenario for another day. But it was down the middle, I guess.
That's right. So the grade that we gave him was a C+ on that.
Fair.
For both the expansion and the. The entry draft. And remember, in the entry draft, he picked Sebastian Aho in the fifth round. And Sebastian Aho played 22 games at the NHL level and looked okay.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good pickup. And if you're asking why he went in the fifth round, it's because he's small.
Pretty much like when we talked about David Quenneville a couple weeks ago.
That's right. So I think he's like 5'10", I'm going to say, Sebastian Aho.
Sounds about right.
Why can't I find him in the roster? There he is. Where is he? 5'10", 176. So he's not light, but he's short.
Mm-hmm.
But so that gave him some points because if you're going to pull out a guy in the fifth round who played 22 games that year, that's pretty good.
Exactly. 100% agree. And then the second criteria was trades. Mm-hmm. The big one is obviously Strom for Eberle.
Oh, yeah, easily. Well, I don't know. Yeah, definitely.
What were you going to say?
No, I was thinking of the Hamonic one, but definitely the Strom-Eberle one is better than that.
So what was the grade that we gave him for
a
traits?
B+.
B+?
Yes. So he did well. He did two good trades in Ryan Strom for Jordan Eberle. That's a great trade. That worked out super well for the Islanders. They added 34 points to their roster. Mm-hmm. That's nothing. They gave up less than what they got in difference. Right, Ryan Strome. Actually, no, they gave up the same. Ryan Strome put up 34 points for the Edmonton Oilers, and Eberle put up 34 points more. No, that doesn't make sense. I'm off by 1 point. Either way,
it's pretty close.
Yeah, it's close. There's something I'm missing here. Then he got Travis Hamonic. He got a first and 2 seconds for Travis Hamonic.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. That's great. That's... So just on those two, that's great. But then there's the rest of the season.
Yeah, the Davidson and Wagner, and then not really making a big splash when they probably needed one.
Mm-hmm. That's just it. It's his grade fell because of what he didn't do rather than what he did.
That was my question, was did what he didn't do factor into the trade grade also?
Absolutely.
Okay.
So because, like I wrote here, even when Calvin DeHaan went down with injury on December 17th, and even after Johnny Boychuk also picked up an injury later on in December, Garth did nothing. And I understand sticking Pat, but it's not like the Islanders were winning at that time either. So like they're just bleeding points, and they weren't doing anything. They just sat there going, well, I guess lottery picks for us. And going, yeah, but it doesn't have to be. You're still putting up a ton of goals. Get some defense, and maybe you're in the playoffs, and maybe who cares about the firsts?
Yeah. Pretty much, right? Because at that point, yeah, the top two lines were still performing amazing, but it was the defense that crumbled. Then right around that time, December into January, is when things really fell apart.
That's right.
So who knows what would have happened if he traded for another defenseman that worthwhile. Someone a little bit higher up than Brandon Davidson, who's probably a third pairing guy.
That's right.
But all right, how about for free agency?
So for free agency, we gave him a D minus. So the reason we gave him a D minus is he did relatively well for staying away from the free agency at the beginning of the year. He didn't add anyone, right? He didn't go and grab an Andrew Ladd at $5.5 million for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. He signed Calvin DeHaan a single year. That was after arbitration-ish. Like, they went through arbitration, but they signed before the agreement or the whatever the ruling came out. To 3.3, that's fair. But then he also signed Dennis Seidenberg for
didn't
reasons.
Like that. Yeah.
He gave him a $250,000 raise. He signed Pelech for 4 years and Scott Mayfield for 5 years. Now, I know I don't mind those deals so much.
Mm-hmm.
But you venomously don't like them, so I kind of went with you on that.
Okay. Thank you.
But then there's also the fact that the most important free agent that the Islanders have coming up, Snow isn't actually dealing with that at all.
No, it's apparently Malkin.
That's right. So this is part of, I think it was Arthur Staple, if I'm not mistaken. I'm just trying to bring up the link here. But yes, it was Arthur Staple who wrote that Malkin has been the lead, has been the point player in the John Tavares discussions, and not Garth Snow.
That's a little concerning, yeah.
Like, you can't have that. Like, that's the GM's job. So clearly you don't trust the GM to do free agent deals. Or at least you don't trust him to do it for your most important player. And if your GM isn't to be trusted with your most important player's contract, what the heck is he there for?
Very fair point. Would that give you an inkling that he's being moved out because he's not dealing with the most important contract?
No, I don't know. I don't think so because, look, if I don't have faith in someone and I'm their boss, I probably don't keep them around.
Yeah.
Or I move them out of that position as soon as humanly possible.
Yeah, that's why none of this makes sense to me, honestly.
Exactly. Like, if they don't trust him, and I don't think they do, move him. Move him. They just don't seem to know who to replace him with, maybe. Well, you've had months to figure that out. You've had years to figure that out. You went on that that interview tour in the summer. In the summer, you knew that. Come on, guys.
Like, I know.
They could have hired Patrice Brisebois during the year, even. And that would have made more sense. Like, maybe he leaves and says, like, you know what? I'm actually going to go because the Islanders are saying they're going to fire Garth today. And if I don't take it, then they're going to go with someone else.
Maybe.
Like, I I'm saying that, but I don't actually know if there's any sort of rules in terms of GMs or executives moving during the season to a rival club. I don't know how that works. I know there was something when it comes to coaches, mm-hmm. right? That if you signed a coach while under contract, you got their second round pick or something like that. I realize that is no longer the case, but that is something that used to be on the books. So maybe there's still something there for the executive class.
Although, it could be. I don't know off the top of my head, but it certainly seems like a possibility where there'd be some sort of compensation given back to the team that loses right. their executive.
Yeah, exactly.
And then lastly was on-ice success. Success is a very loose term in this context.
Super loose.
Did he? I don't know what he got, but I'm going to assume F.
Oh, yeah, easily. It's a straight okay. F. Like, honestly, why would he get anything but an F?
Yeah, you can't, because there was too much talent on this team for them to finish this bad.
And it'd be one thing if the GM made moves or tried to address it or tried to do something and it didn't pan out. You're like, well, maybe you made some... He just made some bad moves, but he tried. He didn't even try. It just seemed like he was just kind of letting the motions of the oceans go. And be like, all right, yeah. Well, let's see what happens.
Like, he was captain of the ship, and he's sitting there at the wheel as he's sinking, going down. Not doing anything. Not trying to, you know, bail out the water or nothing. Just sitting there as they're going right down.
It's just so... And they were 17 points out of a playoff spot. They were 16 points worse. I mean, not 16 points worse. They were how many points worse than last year? They finished with 94 last season?
Yeah, and they finished with 80. So 14. They're
14 points worse than they were last year. Awful.
It's a big difference.
Obviously, it was a tougher year. They needed 17 points to make the playoffs this year. 97 points to make the playoffs this year. And they only needed 95 last year. Mm-hmm. It's only 2 points, but still. They weren't even close, though. They weren't even close.
Yeah, it's because not like they were close to 95.
That's right. And, like, look, everyone on this team is Garth. It's Garth's man. Everyone on this team was either drafted by, brought in through free agency by, or traded for by Garth Snow. Every single player on this team. So, like, he assembled it from the ground up over 12 years, and they still were 17 points out of a playoff spot. If that's not an indictment of the GM, I don't know what is.
Certainly, you're certainly right, my friend.
So, F.
I can't. F. Def, big time F. Overall.
F. So, overall, what I tried to do, that wasn't just a narrative thing. I actually graded that out. I took every grade from every criteria and then weighted them. I gave it, so obviously a letter grade is a spectrum. Mm-hmm. I gave him top marks on that spectrum. So if you got a B+, I gave him the top of a B+, which is 79%. If you got a D-, top of that, which is a 59 or something like that. And then I averaged it out, and it averaged out to 49.2% or something like that, which is an F.
That is definitely an F.
So you almost made a D-, Garth, but you didn't. And I was trying to be fair. Sorry.
You did try to be fair. And oddly enough, according to some people on the internet, we went after our quote-unquote boy, Garth Snow.
I don't understand that. Where did we get that mix? I swear to God, it's Pharrell's article that he wrote two years ago. Saying that Garth is smarter than you. Yes, one of our writers wrote something saying that Garth Snow was smart. It was very tongue-in-cheek, and he was still actually trying to make a point that Garth Snow wasn't a dummy.
If you actually read it, one of the last lines says, Garth Snow has mostly been bad.
Yes. And to be like, he's done some good stuff. Sure. That Ryan Strome, Jordan Eberle trade, great. Fantastic. Griffin Reinhardt for essentially Matthew Barzal and Anthony Beauvillier, amazing. That's perfect. Oh my God, that's amazing. But we've never said that is because of that he should keep his job. We've never said that ever. So because we write one article with a positive headline, people go, that's it. I made up my mind. It's like the commenter you had today. I read the headline. I didn't read the article.
Yes. Click read through. For the love of God, click through. That's all we're asking, right? Yeah.
It saves us a headache. It saves us from having a headache at night.
It definitely does. Mm-hmm. I want to move into the social, spice things up a little bit.
Sure. I've got nothing, but sure.
All right, I'm going to carry the team. I'll put the team line back and get us
too much time on looking relative Corsi 4 per 60.
Mitch, I love your analytics views. That's amazing. I want to start with the Tom Fitzgerald rumors because that was a big topic of conversation on Twitter this week.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any substance there?
I don't. Like, maybe. But, like, I don't know what to believe with this team anymore. Like, it was Botta that broke it, right?
Yeah.
Sure, maybe. Like, I don't know. I don't know what to believe from that guy necessarily. Like, it sounds like a guy who's always getting up in his soapbox, and that's fine. Maybe he's right. I have no reason to doubt him. I just don't know with this team anymore. Maybe they at one point they did ask these three people, but now they're just kind of like, oh, we don't know, so we're going to go in a different direction. So he might be right, but who knows if that's factual anymore, because we don't know what this team is doing.
No, I don't think there's any way to know, and I don't think it's definite, but I think it's a possibility, if that makes sense. I certainly think it's an option for the GM role if you're moving Garth Snow to the president role.
Yeah, I just want to see more than just Chris Botta say that. And maybe Gross or Staple don't, because they still want to keep that access type thing. Mm-hmm. But I feel that now that Staple's at the Athletic, he can get away with more, but he'll do more.
You have more leeway with stuff, I think.
I think so. And so I feel like if he had that scoop, he would confirm it as well. And I don't think he's gone out and called it a lie or anything. I just haven't really seen him kind of second it. And maybe he did and I just didn't see it. But I get, whenever he tweets something, it comes up right on my phone. So I don't know. I don't know what to believe with this team anymore. He might be right. And I hope he is. I really do. I hope that Chris Botta had that. His sources are accurate. Because I believe Chris Botta believes his sources, and I believe his sources are giving him good information, but I don't know with this team. I really don't know.
No, I think I'm in the same boat with you in this one.
Yeah.
Another one that I had, Vegas's early success is killing me.
I wrote two things about Vegas and how it relates to the Islanders already, and yeah, it's not good.
No, it's not fun. It took the Islanders 23 years to win a playoff series round. They did it in 1 year. They're first.
Yeah,
their expansion year, they swept the LA Kings. Marc-Andre Fleury, what a series he put on. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, well, that's almost to be expected. Not to be expected, but just like he did with the Penguins last year, he'll carry them a certain way, but then there'll be no one behind him to do the rest. So I don't think they make the cup finals. I think they're out by the conference finals at the latest.
Okay. So that kind of brings me to my third and final social, which was an update on our playoff bracket.
Oof, not good.
Yeah, so let's run through quick. We're going to start in the West. Nashville's up 2-1 currently. I think we both have them advancing, so that one's looking pretty good. Winnipeg's up 3-1 on the Wild. We both had Winnipeg advancing, so we're looking good there. Vegas swept LA. I have Vegas going to the Stanley Cup final, so I'm looking good. Mitch had them losing to LA, so he is looking really bad.
Already a loss for me.
San Jose's up 3-0 on the Ducks, and you said they were going to sweep the Ducks, so
yeah,
that's looking pretty good for you. On the opposite side, Pittsburgh's up 3-1 on Philly, which you said...
took Philly.
I mean, if they win three in a row, you'll be right.
Yeah, I guess, sure. Good luck with that happening, me.
Columbus is up 2-1 on your Stanley Cup champion.
God, this is so annoying.
So that's not looking too good. Boston's up 2-1 on Toronto. I think we both predicted Boston, but yeah, still a lot of series left.
Yeah.
And Tampa Bay's up 2-1 on the Devils. I believe they are playing tonight. I don't know what the score is. Let's check that now.
Yeah, I don't have it open either. I haven't been watching a whole lot. Are you watching the playoffs religiously?
I'm going to get a lot of slack, but I'm going to say no. But because my Mets are on fire, so I've been locked into them.
Right, fair enough. My Mets are not, because I don't watch the Mets. Tampa Bay's up 3-1. I don't watch baseball. And Pittsburgh won 5-0.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. I've been watching the Winnipeg Jets Minnesota Wild Series. I love it. I'm in love with it.
Okay.
I think I'm going to start watching the Pittsburgh series just because it seems like they score like a million goals either way.
Yeah. I want to be more involved. I really do, but baseball has gotten my attention a little little bit right now.
Fair weather hockey fan.
I guess you could call me that. If the Islanders were in it, I'd be locked in.
Oh, sure, easily.
But they're not. But right now, like, my team is playing well. So that's I'm going to them, and I'm checking in. I know what each series is. I'm just not watching every single game.
Right, fair enough. Well, there's a lot of games going on. Like, there's three games on tonight.
Right. Once the conference final rolls around, then the Stanley Cup final, I'll be watching. Okay. Like, religiously.
I try to have it on every night. My wife is not happy about that because I'm essentially watching more hockey than when the Islanders are on, but...
Right.
Yeah.
So that was it for me. That's all I had for the social, and I think that's all I had for the podcast today. Anything else you wanted to get off your chest?
One thing. We're in need of writers. We want people to write for us. So if you have New York Islanders opinions, we will pop out a link on our Twitter account and our Facebook account and apply. If you have something to say about the Islanders, apply, because we could use your voice on the site. It's not – we have a huge – we reach huge audience. We reach you. We can teach you everything about editorial side, about SEO. Just come on out. Give us your voice. We could use it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're always open to new voices to add to the site. And with the off season coming around, that's always an interesting time where it's a lot of hypothesizing. So you have to think outside the box a little bit with your writing. That's what I found anyway. Mm-hmm. And it could be a lot of fun.
It's definitely a lot of fun. It sounds like it's tough, but you end up having a lot of fun because you're looking back at old seasons. You're looking back at this season. And you're just like you said, a lot of what ifs or what could be.
You got to get creative.
Yeah.
It lets your creative juices flow, in my opinion. That's why I enjoy it.
Perfect. That's all I had. What about you? Anything else to get off
your
chest?
No, that was it. So I just want to mention that you can follow us on Twitter at EyesOnIslesFS. My personal Twitter account is at Matt O'Leary NY. Mitch's is at TLO Mitch. You can also like our Facebook page, facebook.com/EyesOnIsles. And as always, be sure to visit the website, EyesOnIsles.com, for all your New York Islanders needs. Almost had a perfect reader.
Almost. You and Bartolo Colon, almost perfect.
Almost perfect. I know. We were watching that almost together because it was during the Sunday night meeting that we usually do. That's so you saw my live reaction.
It was good.
That was a good one.
I think I ended up changing my Twitter name to at relative Corsi per 60 percentage on ice. What do you think?
No? I think it'd be hard to find you.
Yeah. All right. That's all I got.
Mitch, I'll talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week.